Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And that's a shoe on the other foot. It's your Yahoo Sports Canada Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 17th. But first, sports. Good morning. We are in the home stretch of the week. Happy Thursday to you. It was a lighter night in sports on Wednesday, thanks to the rain canceling Game 4 of the ALCS in the MLB playoffs. But of course, it's never a slow day when the Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto Raptors are involved. The Maple Leafs stumbled in the second half of their back-to-back against the Capitals, while the best and possibly the worst of the Raptors made headlines in a pair of statements on Wednesday. But first, it was all going along so well for the Maple Leafs after one period against the Washington Capitals. Kasperi Kapanen broke his goose egg with the first goal of the season, and Superman Ilya Mikheyev scored another goal to continue his excellent start to the season. He got his third, and then the wheels came off. The Capitals score 1, 2, 3 times in just over a minute, a minute 18 to be exact. They turn a 2-1 lead into a 4-2 deficit for the Maple Leafs, and the Capitals did not look back, locking things down to secure a 4-3 win in regulation. So, the Maple Leafs fall to 4-3-1 early in the season. Michael Hutchison, the team's backup goalie, he got the start in a tougher assignment in the second half of a back-to-back against a very tough team. And in a span of just over a minute, he will end up wearing the L for this one. Ailish Forfar, one of Yahoo Sports Canada's best and brightest NHL editors, joins me now. Fors, first and foremost, where did it all go wrong for the Maple Leafs on Wednesday?
Well, if you got up to go to the bathroom midway through the game, you would have thought you've turned on a different television show. After a minute 18 and the Washington Capitals scored 3 unanswered goals, I think obviously you can easily pinpoint that as a lapse in the Leafs' effort and mental strength, and it was just stupid plays and undisciplined calls and plays that kind of let them fall apart, and it's really hard to get back in the game. I mean, they made an attempt near the end, but pretty defeating a minute 18 that you have to go through as a team, and they weren't really able to get back on pace after that.
Now, they're on the second half of a back-to-back, and they played their backup goalie, as they usually do. What do you think about Babcock's sort of stringent, always having the starter go game one and the backup go game two? Because they played a back-to-back, they played a team coming off a back-to-back in game one in Minnesota that was tired and overpowered them and then looked a little tired tonight. What do you think about that strategy?
I don't love it. I know that he's very set in his ways, and he's stubborn in a sense, to put it lightly, that this is the way it'll be. But if you look at the matchups, I think obviously Hutchinson would have been a better match with Minnesota, and I think Freddie might have been able to put out a win against a better team. But this is his mentality, and the consistency makes it almost undebatable that he's going to do this. But it gives you the idea of, like, let's secure 2 points, and then the other 2 points, we'll see what happens. And I don't know as a player if I would love that strategy, looking at we're just going for 50% on a back-to-back. I don't love it. I think I know about making sure that Freddie doesn't get overplayed and you look at the big picture, but coming into it, you're kind of setting Hutchinson up for disaster in a sense.
We talked about the goaltending strategy, and we talked about the quick breakdown there in the second period. Was there anything else that jumped out at you from this game, aside from them being tired on the second half of a back-to-back, that you look at and you go, that's a little bit concerning to see from the Maple Leafs?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but I didn't love the end of the game for Mike Babcock and his decisions. I think if you looked at the Leafs, actually had a really good third period. They were putting on the pressure. They put the game within one. They had an empty net with a minute or two left, and they've got Kerfoot out there when they could have Matthews, and I was waiting patiently, and there was no timeout called. There was, you know, no urgency to get Matthews out on the ice. And in the end, he got, I think, 10 seconds. And it's too late at that point. Obviously, we saw Tavares score to put it within one with 2.5 minutes left. And that's kind of when you really put out your big guns. And I just hope this isn't a vintage Babcock situation where he's got Marlowe out there. I love Marlowe, but those old guys or the young guns that aren't putting up points when he's stressed time and time again that, you know, oh, it's going to be different. We're going to put the players out we need. It's like, well, you had an opportunity tonight against, you know, the Washington Capitals to tie the game up, and you got your all-star on the bench. So I don't want to say that this is going to be a trend, but it's not a very positive feeling to kind of go away with thinking that, you know, one shot away from tying and pushing overtime and getting a point at least. So I didn't love it.
So we're not going to call it a hot seat. You want to call it a lukewarm seat for Mike Babcock?
Yeah, lukewarm. I like to say that maybe he was trying to get him out there, but Kerfoot should know to get off the ice too. Like, you know, you look around, I don't know if I belong out here right now in this situation. That's when you get your butt back to the bench and get Matthews on the ice or whoever's in the line. Like, you're also a player and you got to think, well, what's the best situation for my team here? So can't put it all on Babs, can't put it all on Kerfoot, but it's kind of a bad taste in your mouth watching the game end when you're really close to tying it.
The Leafs now take a couple days off before a meeting on Saturday at home against the monster under the bed, the Boston Bruins. The Bruins are 5-1 to start the season. It's going to be another sizable test for the Maple Leafs to kick off the season. There have been no lack of those early on, and another one comes on Saturday. The Toronto Raptors, meanwhile, continue to prepare for the beginning of a new NBA season. Opening night is Tuesday, by the way, if you need reminding, which you shouldn't. I say it a lot. Tuesday, opening night, there were a pair of interesting tidbits that came out of practice on Wednesday. First came from Yahoo's own Chris Haynes. He had a report that Pascal Siakam is seeking the rookie max extension. No surprise there. Haynes called it almost a certainty that a deal will get done between Spicy P and the Raps. A rookie scale max is 5 years, $170 million for Siakam. They have until Monday to iron that out. If you're expecting him to be the man and to be the number one option, that's the kind of money you deal with. There was also a little bit of fire from head coach Nick Nurse, who had this to say about some of the new acquisitions, namely Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and whether they are performing up to snuff to earn a spot on the team.
Those guys have not understood, A, how hard we play, B, our schemes, that defense is a priority for them, etc. We got some work to do with all that crew. Come Tuesday night, there's a couple spots there open if somebody wants them. And I keep telling you that, show me you're going to play defense. Show me you're going to play hard. Show me you understand our coverage. Just show me how. And then whatever you do at the other end, you're going to get opportunities just because who you're on the floor with. And they'll come to you. You don't have to come down and occupy your 95% of your mind with how you're going to break down and get your next shot. It's not going to get you on the floor right now. So we've got some work to do. We've got to find who's going to blend in quickly defensively with this crew.
Pretty harsh words there from usually chill acoustic guitar Nick Nurse. To sort through this Raptors news this morning, I am joined by Katie Heindel, who racks up the bylines all over the place, including but not limited to here at Yahoo Sports Canada occasionally, and she is the go-to source for NBA offseason reports. Katie, let's start with the good news or the good rumors. What do you make of the reports that Pascal Siakam is close to signing a rookie scale max extension with the Raptors?
I love it. I mean, I'm all for dudes getting paid. And moreover, for Siakam, I think it's absolutely, he's getting what he deserves. Like, if there's someone you want to incentivize to stay because it's already known, it's like whether or not you feel it's an open secret or actually the plans, but like he's the guy the team's going to be building up around for the next 5 years. So I think you got to show somebody like that you mean it.
And we just saw, speaking of extensions, Kyle Lowry got his $31 million for an extra year. I'm going to assume, based on what you just said about Pascal Siakam, you are also very okay with Kyle Lowry getting the bag.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for Lowry. I mean, Lowry, like, Yeah, that's something that, like, again, if you want to, it signals to me, it just signals that, like, the Raptors are a franchise that take care of their players, like young and longstanding players, and those kinds of signals are going to work their like magic way out into the league for any players that are like maybe eventually hoping to come to Toronto. So other than like taking care of guys, which should be number one priority, I think it's like really doing some long-term positive groundwork. Also, I just want to say, like, I've never seen someone look so casual wearing like a pom-pom on his head, signing such a gigantic, well-deserved deal. So even more well-deserved for Lowry.
Not all laughter and sunshine. There was some, not want to say negative, but Nick Nurse came out pretty strong on Wednesday to talk about the new guys, specifically Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, that they were not quite at that level that the team expected of them, and understanding how hard the Raptors play at that championship level. What do you make of sort of that, of coming into the media and sort of putting it out in the open like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a bit surprising. I feel like it's the least kind of, hey, y'all, we've seen of Nick Nurse, and it's more like, giddy up. But I think if anything, that those are sort of like what he's signaling with comments like that. I'm hoping at least that he wants to light a fire under these guys. But I think as like, you know, watching this team, like, we've sort of become spoiled, I think, in the way that we see like the work ethic of like players that have come up like through the development system in Toronto, like, you know, like Siakam, like Fred, like all, like even Norman Powell, like all these dudes like work really, really hard for the spots. And like, if you're not willing to do that kind of work, it seems like, and it sounds like, it's going to become apparent pretty quickly. So I feel like, you know, a lot of preseason talk is all about like bigging players up, really like hyping up the team when not much has been seen yet. So I kind of like how refreshing it was for Nurse to just come out and say, like, he's not happy, the team's not happy, they've got to step it up.
And I wanted to ask you one last thing, because you have carved out an expertise as the expert on the NBA offseason, and you write on Substack a piece called Basketball Feelings. Is there anybody maybe new to the team that you have that has caught your eye with their outside the court personae this offseason?
Yeah, it was actually, like, I was a bit disappointed with how quiet it was for the Cubs, like, some of the new Raptors this offseason. I was really hoping to just, like, get a better feel for Stanley Johnson, who I really like just by virtue of all the jean jackets he's wearing. I found out he's, like, a wine guy. Like, he's into, like, weird wine. So I feel like it's a good fit for him in Toronto. I'm still, like, I think Patrick McCaw is, like, such a funny, precious little weirdo. So I hope he starts shooting and, like, bringing some of his weird off-the-court confidence on the court. And I know everyone has, like, written him off in this, like, deep, very, like, far afield. But I'm not ready to give up on campaign yet.
Oh, boy.
I got a campaign for campaign. How about that?
If you want to hear extended thoughts from Katie on all things Raptors preseason, she was also a guest on William Liu's Raptors Over Everything podcast yesterday. They go into much, much further depth on everything than a show this short allows us to do. And finally, we did not get any closer to figuring out who will be joining the Washington Nationals in the World Series yesterday. Game 4 between the Yankees and the Astros was postponed due to heavy rain. The series continues tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time in the Bronx. Game 4, the Astros send Zach Greinke to the hill. Well, it appears, there's some subterfuge, but it appears the Yankees will counter with Masahiro Tanaka as their starter. Justin Verlander and James Paxton are expected to be on the mound for Game 5. But that is a conversation for Friday, and that is something we will talk about tomorrow on the show, because we are all out of time this morning. Leafs lose, Raptors closer to locking up Siakam to the max, and Game 4 of the ALCS is scheduled for this evening. You are all caught up on everything you need to know to start your Thursday off right, so get out there and have a great day.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.